This week is Dying Awareness Week, and today we've been joined by Sharon Jenkins from Marie Curie. Hello. How are you? Are you okay? Good, good. Thank you for coming in today to talk to us about what Marie Curie does in supporting individuals who are passed or are on palliative care, for example. So you explain, I think Marie Curie is a well-known name. So if you just sort of explain to us the certain what type of support you offer, and then we could talk maybe in a bit more detail then as to what practical or emotional support you provide.
Yeah, no problem. So Marie Curie, the main aim is to support people in having a good death, if there is such a thing. So Marie Curie has got a wide range of services, from our inpatient hospice to our hospice at home care. We've got a bereavement service, which covers the whole of Wales. And we've got a companion service and a wellbeing centre that we can support people, carers and patients in however long they've got left, in engaging in exercises, keeping active, having emotional support, practical support, medical support. And we've got a telephone support line that people can ring up to access support if they need it.
You also got the nurses as well that come in and provide support to in the sort of under palliative care and end of life care pathways.
Yes, so the nurses that come in fall under our hospice at home care or our specialist nursing care.
Okay, so with that in mind, obviously you've got quite a wide range of aspects. Do you want to break those down into bite-sized chunks so people who are listening to this would know what that is? So you went about the top of the hospice first of all, because there's a perception, is there, when you go, oh, I'm going to hospice, I'm going there to die. But actually, that's not quite right, is it?
It's not, no. So our hospice is got beautiful views. I'd say Rugnard Seafront, if anyone doesn't know where it is. And it's actually, a lot of people say they're surprised that they come in. They think it's going to be dark and depressing, but it's not. Some people come in just for a little bit of treatment, a bit of respite. Perhaps a carer's got to have a surgery and they need to come in for a couple of weeks to be looked after. Obviously, we do get people who come in for their end of life care, but we also get people who just come in for a bit of treatment. Perhaps they need to change your medication, see how that settles. And then our day unit, which is in the hospice, we've got all sorts of activities. We've got carers group, young carers group, dementia group, seated exercise, we've got arts and crafts, we've got a bereavement support group. The list goes on. There's activities on morning and afternoon. We have complementary therapy. So we've got Reiki, massage, hypnotherapy. A beauty therapist will come and do your nails if you want your nails done. So yeah, we've got all sorts going on. And we've got cafes downstairs, which is open to the public. So anybody can come and support the hospice, yeah, have a cup of tea.
Yeah, there's so much going on there. And I think people use the word hospice, and actually that's all people's mind is on. But actually there's a whole raft of other things you do. Because I had a family member years ago there, it's actually within one of your centres. And the best part of the day was a happy hour at 6 o'clock. You can run with a trolley. Yes, I don't know why that was sort of the highlight of the day that was. So obviously you provide that. Obviously I know you provide at home facilities as well. So how do people access your service? Do they refer by the GP, and they refer by the hospital, or do they make a self-referral to you?
Some people can make a self-referral. Some people are referred by the palliative care team, and some through the GP. So yeah, there's lots of ways of accessing services. Some people might access it for a short period of time, but they're just unwell and have some support. But once medication gets settled, they become stable. So we withdraw and then we come back in. So we're there in the background, but not necessarily having regular
contact with individuals. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a terminal diagnosis and palliative care. We don't just come in a week before somebody dies and then leave again. So we've got all our services carry on, so that into the bereavement support, so there is support as well. By our bereavement service, we also take referrals for counselling and our support groups from people who have not been nursed by Marie Curie as well.
Yeah. So do you link with the other hospice in Cardiff as well? Yes, you do link with them as well. Yeah. So when somebody is coming into your care, whether it be for respite or whatever else, can you explain what that's like? Because they've like, to me, it's like going into a hospital type of environment. But I know it probably isn't, but can you explain to us what things you put in place to make it a bit more easier? But I don't think easy is the word I'm looking for, really. I'm not too sure what I'm looking for. I'm trying to find a way to explain the journey of the individual.
It depends how people come in. Some people are transferred in from hospital, so that does feel like from hospital in an ambulance to us. Some people come in with it brought in by family members. We've got some rooms that have got multiple beds, three beds in. So it might be that somebody's just having a bit of respite, but well enough to have some company. And then we've got side rooms then, which are individual rooms. Friends can come and visit. So it's less strict when it comes to, obviously, we try and protect meal times as best as possible. But if you want to be there and be with your family, we don't stop people coming in, but it's making sure that patients do have. Asville Hospital, we've got doctors, nurses, healthcare assistants, porters, domestics, the lots during SAS. It does. A lot of people say, and I guess I don't notice it, but it doesn't smell like a hospital. But when you're there all the time, you don't always notice.
You don't know it, yeah. It's sort of that attitude. You could walk past a poster 15 times, you don't know it's there, because you walk past every day. So obviously that's within the hospice care. With the, you provide domiciliary care as well. Is that just the nurses, or is it other types of service you provide people's homes?
So we've got nurses and healthcare assistants who will come out to people's homes and support. We've got night service, so it might be that one of our nurses or healthcare assistants will come and sit through the night just so that family members can get a good night's sleep, which makes a huge difference when you're caring for somebody that you're not running on empty all the time. And we've got a companion service as well, which is where a family can have a companion for 3 hours a week, whether that's one block of 3 hours or split, who can come to their home if the person's well enough. They can take them out, give the carer a bit of a break. If they're not well enough, they can talk to them. We've got one who plays chess because that's what they're into. We try and match the companion up with the interests and the hobbies that people like. It might be that they spend time with the carer as well. That if somebody is bed-banged and housebound, it might be the carer doesn't really have anyone else to talk to. And then if the person then dies, the companion can stay with the family for up to 12 weeks post-bereavement to give them just a little bit of support so that when somebody dies, all that support comes away, but we actually keep the person visiting every week.
And that allows that continuity, I presume, does it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so that they're not just left completely on their own, which can be the hardest part.
So do you suggest people who maybe refer to your service or that they make a list of things how to prepare somebody to come into your service, that makes sense?
Yeah, so we have lots of conversations about, what they like, what they don't like. Have they thought about what their wishes are? We ask them about the things like wills, do not resuscitate, those sorts of, there's some practical things, but some of it is their wishes. You might have come in here now, but if you deteriorated, do you want to stay here? Would you like to die at home? Where would you like to be? Who would you like to be here? We had somebody said, I'd really like my cats to be here when it comes to the end. The cats came in. It's about what are your wishes? What's your favourite food? When the trolley comes around,
what's your table, yes?
And it is. It's about, what is it you want? There might be some things that we have to do medically. You might have to take this medication with your meal every day, but it's quite a holistic approach. We've got physios, social workers, occupational therapists. So do you need some supporting getting you back a little bit more mobile? We walk in frames. Is there things that we can help you to get back home if that's what you need? Bed guards, hospital bed downstairs at home. So it's quite a holistic approach. What is it you want?
So do you interlink with like NHS services and other third sector and refer where you need you to?
Yes, we'll refer wherever is needed.
And because you're a charity, aren't you? You're not funded by the government in any way, shape or form, or are you? And sort of, because we do hear something, it was in the media a while ago, about hospices sort of not having enough money to run, and that would, you know, for somebody maybe accessing your services, that may concern them.
Yeah, so we get some Welsh Government funding under the bereavement grant for our bereavement service.
Right.
And some NHS funding for some of our beds within the hospice. But essentially, we are a charity and we have more beds than we're funding for.
Yeah, I understand that fully. And so how many people would you be dealing with across the community at any one time?
Oh, I couldn't say off the top of my head.
No.
Because I don't work in the nursing.
Right, okay.
So, but yeah, we've got beds in our hospice. And we've got quite a large community, so we work within our nursing service. We've only got the one hospice, which covers, but outside of that, we've got a dementia service in Swansea Bay Health Board. We've got nursing service in Carmarthen, and Betsy Cadwallader and Powys and Cwmffaf.
Right. So a lot of your volunteers obviously take part. So how can somebody, if somebody felt that they wanted to volunteer for you, how can they go about doing that? And what type of roles could they be doing? And also, is there a type of process they go through for that? Or is there something that you work out what skills they've got and slot them into the best role that you think they can fulfill?
So all of our volunteer roles are advertised on our website. So people can have a look. It'll give a brief description of what's involved in the roles. Sometimes people say, I want to do something, but I'm not sure what. So we've got a wide range of roles. We've got the obvious, the fundraising. We've got the component that I mentioned. We've got volunteers who run our bereavement support groups. We've got some volunteer dogs who come onto the ward.
Right, okay.
Therapy dogs. All our complementary therapies are volunteers offering the Reiki, the massage and everything. We've got a hospital companion service as well, which runs in UHW and Prince Charles Hospital, and we're rolling it out into other hospitals as well, where perhaps people don't have visitors in hospital, so one of our companions will come and visit. It's a day a bit less.
It's a day, yeah. It's always easy when you see somebody that is not a medical trained professional, because you can then have a conversation with them. They're not going to prod or poke you or whatever else, isn't it, Macy?
Volunteer counsellors with their bereavement service. We've got volunteers in the hospice, on the ward, in our cafes. We've got some volunteer admin, which is always really helpful to have some admin support.
So basically, if you have a few hours a week and you had to give your time to Malika, I'm quite sure they would be willing to have a conversation with you. So from obviously Dying Well Awareness Week, what does that mean for you as a hospice movement? What message are you trying to get across this week?
Essentially, that people have as good a death as possible, which I know that sounds a bit contradictory, but death is something that we can't avoid. It happens to all of us. So it should be where possible, where you want to be, with the people you want around you, and as comfortable as
you can be. Because there's something we don't talk about as families and within society, do we? We don't talk about dying. We don't talk about that inevitable process we're going to go through. And so is there anything online that you're aware of that people can get help and support with planning or this activity?
Yeah, so we've got some, on our website, we've got information sheets that are available and a lot of our booklets. So we've got booklets around what to expect when somebody dies, and we've got a children's version for explaining to children, and an easy read version. So we've got information that people can access, you know, what might I need to think about, what might I see, what might be different, and, you know, things like recognizing changes. So like the changes in somebody's breathing as they come in towards the end of their life and those sorts of things. Asking, you know, what music do you want playing in the room so that it doesn't feel clinical, that it feels, you know, do you want candles burning? Because, you know, I want a nice scented candle. I want this music playing in the background. I just want to feel relaxed and slip away peacefully. We know that's not always possible, but just the sort of, we've got some sheets as well that people can access, you know, my wishes. And it prompts with questions, you know, do I want to be cremated? Do I want to be...
That's a really helpful thing to see, though, isn't it? And that's on your website, is it?
You can access all of that from the website, yeah.
Because, as I said, there's something we don't discuss, not even as families. We discuss all other aspects, but very rarely talk about, well, this is what I would like, you know, this is what I want. And they're documented so people know what to do. Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you for that. So, if people want to get hold of you, obviously, how can they do that?
So the best number is to use our support line, which is an 0800 number, which is 0800-090-2309.
So that's 0800-090-2309. Yeah.
And they can put referrals in and signpost. It's a nurse on the line as well, so it might be able to advise how to refer somewhere. Or the main hospice, then obviously if it's a direct query to the hospice, if perhaps somebody wants to know about referring in to hospice care or accessing the direct services there, they can ring directly to the hospice. And all our information is when you go onto the Marie Curie website, obviously we're nationwide, but you can specifically choose Wales and it will give you the options.
That's great. Well, thank you for coming in, Sharon. It's been lovely to talk to you. And the work you do fantastic work throughout the year. And obviously, you have your daffodil appeal every year, don't you? Which is brilliant. And actually, one of our volunteers years ago used to be heavily involved with Marie Curie. But we'd like to thank you for everything you do. And thanks for coming in to talk about a subject matter which is really so important. But I think it's just, what this week is for, I think, is how to raise that awareness. And as you say, how to give somebody the best death that they could possibly have, where that's practically possible to be done. Thank you for your time today. Much appreciated. Thank you. That was Sharon Jenkins there from the Marie Curie.